You have often felt the pressure of a deadline. We have all had to live with them, and hardly anyone is ever happy about it. A few people deal with it easily, but most everybody else tries to relieve that pressure with some kind of diversion, like reading or television or perusing the internet or procrastinating. And while feeling overwhelmed with some deadline this past week, I started meditating about God's gift of time and how I should be thankful instead of feeling the pressure. I should feel grateful. And while I was thinking about all of that, I was thinking about the things that I needed to get done with what time I had left. But then I started getting distracted and looked up the origin of that word deadline. You already know that it's a scheduled time when something has to be done or there will be consequences. But that word didn't always mean that. Originally, back in the Civil War, the deadline was the line that Civil War troops had marked around the prison camp, and if there was any prisoner that went beyond it, that person would be shot dead. That was the deadline. But that word was later appropriated by journalists who knew that they had to turn in their news articles to the editor by a certain time or else there would be consequences, probably not being shot. But think about that imaginary deadline that's getting closer for every one of us. Job talked about it in chapter 14, verse 1 and 2, when he said, Man who is born of woman is of few days and full of trouble. He comes forth like a flower and fades away. The psalmist agreed with Job's assessment about the brevity of life when he wrote in chapter 90, verse 10, the days of our lives are 70 years, and if by reason of strength they are 80 years, yet their boast is only labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Knowing that there's a deadline coming, we ought to be sober about the way we use our time. For in that same psalm, in verse 12, the Bible says, so teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Wisdom's crying out to us to not waste time because we only have a certain limited supply of it, and all we have is what we get, and we might not have as much time as we think we have. I only have just a minute. There's only 60 seconds in it. Forced upon me. Can't refuse it. Didn't seek it. Didn't choose it. But it's up to me how to use it. And I will suffer if I lose it. Give account if I abuse it. Just a tiny little minute. But eternity is in it. And when we think about that short period of time that we have, we should keep in mind that we all know our time on earth is limited, and too often we live our lives like the clock is never going to stop, but time is exactly that, and it keeps on ticking. The gift from God also comes with an expiration date, but it's not stamped on the gift box, and none of us know exactly how much we're going to have. But we do know that at some point in time, it's going to run out. And how many times have we put things off thinking that we'll have plenty of time to get to it later? But James says we might not. In James chapter 4 and verse 14, the Bible says, whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It's even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. In the grand scheme of history, none of us have been around here that long. The prayer of a king, written back in the Psalms, states in Psalms 39, verse 4 and 5, Lord, make me to know my end and what is the measure of my days, that I may know how frail I am. Indeed, you have made my days as a handbreadth, and my age is as nothing before you. Certainly every man at his best state is but a vapor. I'm certain that that's the text from which James drew inspiration. That vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away is a reminder of God's gift of time. Now you might think of that gift of time as being the third most valuable thing that you've been given. Now, I said the third. First, God gave you a living soul. And even if you gain the whole world, you won't have enough to bargain to be able to exchange. And then he gave us the gift of his son. But that soul that we were given is dependent upon our relationship with God through his son. And that soul, it exists in time. And because our time is limited, time is extremely valuable. It's the devil's trick for us to be able to look out over the horizon and see the sun come up one day and set it later in the that day, and then watch the horizon the next day and see it come up and then set. And we just assume that because we saw the sun rise and set so many times that it's just going to keep it up. But it might not. And that mind trick that the devil uses tries to make us think that we're always going to have tomorrows. So we might think that we have all the time in the world and be tempted to waste the moments we have instead of using them to gain wisdom and insight from God. I'm not suggesting that we sit around with a Bible in our laps all the time. No, and certainly not. If we're led by the Spirit, there are also other important tasks to get done before that final deadline. For the Bible says in Colossians 4 and verse 5, walk in wisdom toward those who are outside, redeeming the time. We have been commissioned by God in this short period of time that we have to interact with other people in the world who don't have a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. We need to show them the love of God and lead them to the fold of safety. Therefore, we need to use our time intentionally. Live with purpose, on purpose. And if you aren't sure about what that purpose is, well, there's a good place to start right there in the Scripture in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 15. See then that you walk circumspectly. Be alert. Always watching around yourselves, being aware of what's going on spiritually, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. The written word inspired by God calls us to use our time intentionally and wisely, seeking God, listening to his word, praying for guidance about how he wants us to use our time. So we've got to make the most of what we have. And we will be asked to account for how we've used it when we have no more. Sure, God knows us, and he knows that we get distracted. His everlasting love and divine patience keeps calling us back to use our valuable time for the right purpose, and that is to serve him and influence others while we serve. If we deliberately use our time to serve, we will pass our wisdom about how to use time properly on to the next generation of those who will also grow to appreciate God for his wonderful gifts, including the gift that he gives to every one of us, the time to serve. But those deadlines keep on coming, don't they? From our employers, our families, our communities, and just like that guy with the abundant crops that Jesus talked about, he faced the deadline of the harvest, so he made plans to tear down his barns and build bigger ones to hold the bounty. So we ought to make plans too. I believe that's a biblical insight. But at the same time, we should evaluate our current schedules. But unlike that rich farmer who wasn't rich toward God, let's balance our earthly interest with a heavenly calling and treasure the moments that we have been given by God. Look at everything that we spend our time on for the next few days or few weeks and evaluate how we are using our discretionary time and ask ourselves, how does God want me to use the time that He's given me? What matters most to Him? What activities are the most important according to the teachings of the Scripture? There will be some easy answers that you can read about in the Scriptures, like what do we do on Sunday morning? The Scripture commands us to gather on the first day of the week. 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 2, Paul said, as I've given order to the churches of Galatia, so do ye upon the first day of the week. In verse 2, well, when the saints are gathered, we should use our time for the best purpose we can. And if we want to encourage our brothers and sisters and be encouraged too and worship God in the way that He expects, then we would gather. Christians who are fully aware of that higher calling understand that spiritual endeavors are more important than just passing the time. Discernment will help us how to know to use the other 6 days. But here's a tool from God that will help us in that quest to know how best to use our time. James chapter 1, verse 5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. Ask God how to plan your schedule. And if you have faith, God will give you guidance. And He'll guide you to let some things that aren't very important just slip away as if they were unimportant completely. His Word will give us the power to say no to those time wasters. And once we start putting godly wisdom to use, we'll get stronger to be able to say no to those things that aren't important at all, that just waste our time. And we won't even be tempted by our friends who say, hey, how about going fishing with me on Sunday? Instead, we will be empowered to say yes to using our time for what is important, for praying every day and studying God's Word and encouraging one another and serving the Lord in the way that we know we should. Now, I have a word of caution, though. As we are doing all of those things, this word of caution is about the technology that's available to us today. All those technological gadgets, they're supposed to save time and make life easier. But it's possible to let those gadgets take control of our lives and sap the time right out of our day or night when we should be asleep. We need to be intentional with that smartphone or that laptop or that tablet or computer or television set. There are many things that we have available today that they didn't have in former years. And I know that there are a number of people in our congregation that carry a Bible with them everywhere because they have one or two or 100 on a smartphone that they carry with them everywhere. Well, good on them. However, many of us have wasted too much time with television or social media, endlessly monitoring the news on the smartphone, like I hate to admit it, but I have done. And we should ask ourselves, how can we use those devices more effectively and make those tools useful in the service of God? Well, we need to use them intentionally. We don't need to cut out technology, but we need to be deliberate with its use. And let's break those bad habits with those time-sucking, fruit-killing, zeal-sapping use of phones, computers, tablets, and televisions, and then we'll have more time to spend with other people. One of the many regrets that are expressed by people who have reached that final deadline is that they didn't spend enough time with their loved ones. We won't have to worry about that if we intentionally pare down those scheduled time wasters, and let's spend more time wisely with people who matter. Remember Matthew chapter 25 and verse 37 that says, "Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you?" That word "when" in that verse is an acknowledgement of time. There is a time element in our service to God. Specifically, that word was talking about the time when the righteous saw the Lord. And Jesus said, "Inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren." When they came to the aid of another person, Jesus said, "That's when you came to my aid." But with misplaced priorities, it will be much easier to misuse the time that God has given to us. With misplaced priorities, the misuse of time is so much easier. But a divine priority will help us set aside time for serving God, and that of necessity will give us the time we need to serve one another. He gave us the time in the first place, and so it will merely be an expression of gratitude to use the time in the way that He has asked us to do it. And once we give our schedule to His control, we will have more time to spend with Him in prayer, reading Scripture, assembling with our brothers and sisters in Christ, encouraging one another, and serving others, especially those who need the gospel. But I recognize that we all have time commitments because we live in a world that's governed by time. We learned that from a very early age. We went to kindergarten. We had to be there at a certain time, and there were certain things to do throughout the day. And we kept doing that for 12 years, learning that there is a schedule that we need to follow. And our employers expect us to have certain things done by the end of the day or the end of the week. Our government expects taxes to be collected on time. Families have time commitments with each other. And no doubt you've read that familiar passage in Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 1 that says, "To everything there is a season." Those words were written by the wisest man that God ever chose to lead the nation of Israel, King Solomon. He knew the value of time. And if we understand that there's a season for every purpose, for everything under heaven, we'll also understand that there is never a season to waste time. There is never a season to procrastinate, or there shouldn't be. There's never a season for selfish abuses of time, and certainly never a season to rebel against God. He's calling us to live with purpose and use our time properly. And as hard as we try to be efficient with all those tweets and texts and emails and posts and pokes, I'm afraid that all that technology is failing to make life simpler and is becoming a grand technological distraction. Almost like that character, the Mad Hatter, in Alice's Adventures in Wonderland. Maybe you saw it when you were a kid. The character called the Mad Hatter keeps running around in circles, and he's always saying, "I'm late, I'm late, I'm late for a very important date." And he's got this oversized pocket watch strung around his neck and his eyes glued to it all the time. He's dancing around. However, the Mad Hatter can never seem to remember what it is that he's late for. All he knows is he's late. And every one of us, too, all of us, equally have important dates. One of those dates we talked about in the Bible class this morning. One date for which none of us will ever be late, even if we wanted to be. And that date is that final deadline that Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27 talks about. "It is appointed unto man once to die, but after this the judgment." Nobody's going to be late for that appointment. God appointed it. And He's going to furnish the transportation. And nobody will be able to say, "Well, my car wouldn't start." Nobody's going to be able to say, "Well, I had somewhere else I had to be." But there's another very important date. It is now. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2 says, "Behold, now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation." through the Lord Jesus Christ, God is willing to pardon and save everyone, and that's true for everyone who hears the gospel, believes it, and is willing to obey it. Our generation lives in a dispensation of mercy, and God is willing to show compassion as long as time exists. We can't do anything about the time that we wasted yesterday, or last week, or last year. That time has passed under that bridge called oblivion. It's never coming back. And none of us know if there will even be a tomorrow. Besides that, if tomorrow comes, it will be called today. And so all we have is the present moment. But all too often, we even let that moment slip away. And we squander those precious seconds while we worry about what we're going to be doing in the future. Or we keep on ruminating about something that happened in the past that we can't do anything about. Let me show you one of the characters in the scripture who had the biggest problem managing his time well, even though he learned the importance of effective time management. There was a period of time before that he was exasperated. It's in Exodus chapter 18, verses 17 through 22. Moses had received the law on Mount Sinai. The Israelites learned about that law and that there was someone who would be the judge as to whether or not the law was being kept. And so Moses was spending every day, all day long, judging all of the problems that the people in the nation of Israel had. And Moses was approached by his father-in-law, Jethro, the priest of Midian. He came to Moses and he said, "Both you and these people who are with you will surely wear yourselves out. For this thing is too much for you. You are not able to perform it by yourself. I will give you counsel and God will be with you. Stand before God for the people so that you may bring the difficulties to God, and you shall teach them the statutes and laws. Select from among the people able men such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness, and place such over them to be rulers of thousands, rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties, and rulers of tens, and let them judge the people. Then it will be that every great matter they shall bring to you, but every small matter they themselves shall judge. So it will be easier for you, for they will bear the burden with you." God used Jethro, the priest of Midian, to impart wisdom to Moses. Moses had been wearing himself out by living too much in the moment and failing to anticipate problems that might be coming in the future. Couldn't he see that those millions of people in the wilderness were all going to have problems and they were all going to come to him? Well, they might stand in line for months waiting for Moses to hear their case. Each of us in the body of Christ have been given various gifts and abilities, and God has enabled us to work together to edify one another in the church. Instead of getting exasperated like Moses, trying to do everything all by ourselves, we ought to rely on one another for strength and encouragement and assurance. After all, that's the Lord's plan. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 16. "According to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love." Taking time to get to know one another and the talents that each of us have, the abilities that God has given, will afford all of us greater opportunities to use God's gifts. However, the timing is of the essence. If we don't do it, we're potentially going to miss out on those valuable opportunities to serve, especially if we keep ourselves so busy trying to think that we've got to do it all by ourselves. we might see how vain that really is. Failing to prioritize the most important matters will certainly imperil the soul. A fire once started out in the countryside, and a farmer was worried that that wildfire was going to get to his crops. And so he called the fire department, and the county fire department quickly came out, but they realized that it was too big for just them to handle. And so they called the next nearest volunteer fire department, and when they arrived, it was quite a show, because the volunteer fire department came with an old dilapidated fire truck that looked like something out of the 1950s. They came up to the approaching the fire too fast, but slowed down to a stop right in the middle of the flames. And the volunteer fireman jumped out and started spraying fire every direction. And in their quick response, the fire was contained, and the farmer was especially grateful to the rapid response of that volunteer fire department. And for saving his farm, he wrote them a check on the spot for $1,000. There were news reporters on the site. And one news reporter asked the volunteer fire chief what the department would use the money for. And he said, well, that ought to be obvious. We're going to get the brakes fixed on that fire truck. And if we let things go because we haven't planned well, we may find ourselves putting out fires, seeing ourselves in emergency situations. If we wait until we're overwhelmed by some trial, or crushed in a trial of faith, or life is threatened by a terrible calamity, we may reach the deadline and not be ready for the consequences. It is so much wiser to look at the future possibilities and make preparations for what we can do. When Moses listened to the wisdom of his father-in-law, his exasperation was over, and he could spend more time interceding with God on behalf of his nation. Of all the people that have been recorded in the pages of the Bible, however, there has only been one man who has balanced his time well. Only Jesus managed to maintain the right balance of worship, prayer, family, friends, community, work, recuperation. Jesus alone was able to do that because he had an intimate relationship with his Father. And Jesus had a clear view of his purpose while he was here on this earth. He's our supreme example for time management. And it is he that should show us the very importance of using our time well to accomplish those things that are the most important. Jesus was busy. He was busy healing and preaching and traveling and teaching, and he attracted very large crowds. You can read about them in John chapter 6. There were so many people who came to Jesus, and their needs were so great, and yet he took time to help everyone. But there was also times when the Lord had to get away from the big crowds and be alone with his Father. And the biblical narrative in the book of Matthew tells about it in chapter 14 and verse 23. He had sent the multitudes away, and he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. He prayed often, and before every major decision, like choosing his disciples, beginning his public ministry, feeding the 5,000, facing arrest in the Garden of Gethsemane, before he went to the cross. In all of those times, Jesus went to his Father in prayer, and we also ought to imitate the Savior and seek the will of God too for every major decision in our lives. We ought to ask wisdom from God, pleading for his guidance, praying for his protection. And it isn't necessary to know about all the particulars of how God is going to intervene on our behalf. All we need to do is trust him that he's going to do it. And as he speaks to us through his word, we will understand better by and by. If we apply ourselves in this world, if we work hard, if we take the time to do business right and work for our employers, more than likely our paychecks will grow over time. If we are wise in our investments and we keep up that saving, eventually, probably, our nest egg will grow. But no matter how smart a person is, or how hard a person works, or how wisely a person invests, no one will ever be able to manufacture more time. As time goes by, we have less and less of it. We get what we get, no matter if we throw a fit. Some physicists have calculated that the sun is going to burn out in 5 billion years. But we don't have that much time. If you seek the Lord, you better do it now while you know you have time. If you're going to obey Him, now is the time to do it, because you don't know what's going to happen in the next 5 minutes. But you can rest assured that if you have been obedient and faithful to the Lord, when the last tick has talked, when time is no more, you'll find yourself there in the presence of the eternal God. Well, eternity cannot be measured with time. And since eternity is forever, it is even more important to use what time we have to prepare for where we will be in eternity. Yeah, it's true, Jesus died on the cross. That happened a long time ago. But it has far-reaching consequences for our eternal destiny. Because God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And when Jesus died on that cross so long ago, He rose the third day. Now there was time that had to be spent in that tomb, but then Jesus rose again. And when He did, it was God's stamp of approval that Jesus was who He said He was, and that what He said was from God. And if we believe in Him, then we will believe what He said. Jesus said, "Repent and believe the gospel." Matthew chapter 1, verse 15. Jesus said, "He who confesses Me, I will confess before My Father in heaven." Matthew chapter 10, verse 32. Jesus said, "He who believes and is baptized shall be saved." Mark 16, verse 16. Will you be saved in eternity? You can know if you take the time to obey the Lord today. And if there's anyone here today subject to the invitation of the gospel, we invite you to make your wishes known while we stand and sing the song of encouragement.